Thank you for tuning into a Rockville Assembly of God podcast. We hope you find this podcast uplifting, encouraging, and draws you closer to Christ. Of course, we'd love for you to visit us Sunday mornings, but if you cannot, please connect with us at rockvilleag.com.
Presidential elections and all that stuff, but I want to just help us to be reminded that we can go to God all the time. Amen? And our world puts a lot of burdens on us. We put a lot of burdens, and life is stressful. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus comes to give us life. Amen? Abundantly in our minds, our thoughts, and our bodies. So, Lord, we just lift up our world to you, that we would seek your face. And we, as the people of God, can intercede and intervene for this world. And I pray for those that have been affected by this coronavirus. I pray, number one, healing on their bodies. I pray that you would help those who've lost loved ones. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help those in charge or those who in the medical field, you'd protect them as well and help them to isolate this thing. And then I pray also, Lord, with all the calamities we're seeing all the time and catastrophes and even just the violence we have one another, let the church arise and tell people about Jesus and let these people find peace. And then with elections in whatever country, I know there's going to be an election happening here. We pray your hand upon this nation. That again, our hope is in you, Jesus. It's not in a politician. So help us to put our eyes on you. Let your spirit speak to us today as we finish up this series. That Lord, you have hope for our minds. We love you. We bless you. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. So if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to, in a moment, I'm going to kind of skip through and I'm not going to read every verse, but we're going to go through Genesis chapter 14, Genesis chapter 18 a little bit. And I want to talk about the life of a rescuer, hope for our minds. And let me just read this to you as we're going to read here in a second, Genesis chapter 14 through 16. So, again, I want to help you out that we believe in God's manifest presence. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in miracles. We also believe in the use of science and medicine. We believe that God gives that to us as a gift. So we believe in counseling. We believe in God just working through brothers and sisters. So we ask that when we talk about mental health, we talk about anxiety, fear, depression, the heaviness of life, that we say, God, whatever, however you want to do it, we want to help you. And statistically, they say that probably 1 out of 5 people are dealing with a mental illness or a depression or anxiety. 1 out of 5 people. Okay? That's a lot. And so we know life is rough. Things happen. So we need to go to God first and foremost. And then there's no shame in going to a Christian counselor or going to a therapist. There's no shame in going to your doctor and saying, listen, something's not right. No shame in asking family and friends to pray with you, to talk you through things. Amen? It's okay. It's okay. God wants you healed and whole, mind, body, thought, spirit. Amen? Come on, amen? All right, so as I've talked to you about, I've been taking the sermon series from Rick Warren, and the last message, and I didn't take her outline, I just really took her message and her thought. Kay Warren, if you know Rick and Kay Warren, they pastor a church in Saddleback Community Church, which is near San Diego, L.A. area, okay? And so let me just read this to you because, unfortunately, if you don't remember, in 2013, they lost their son to suicide. Let me just read this to you. In fact, this is dated, but I put the most current I could find. This is her quote, okay? Another thing that we absolutely know is that in 2013, 41,000 people in America took their lives by suicide. In 2018, these are the most updated stats right now. In 2018, 48,344 people took their lives in suicide. And so so she's saying on April 5th, 2013, our beautiful, hilarious, funny, and enormously creative, seriously mental ill son Matthew took his life. He became one of those statistics. In the 2 years since he died, and this is data I know, we had been absolutely devastated and crushed by his death. His suicide launched us into what I call catastrophic grief and loss. I will never be the same as I was on April 4th, and that was after April 5th. Rick and I have both lost parents. Rick has lost siblings. I've lost people close to me, to us, very dear to us, that we miss and that we loved. And grieve when they pass. But I can tell you that nothing touched us like the death of our son. My worst nightmare had already happened. My worst day of my life had already happened. I will miss our boy every day of my life, but I will see him again in eternity. And so then what happened with Rick and Kay Warren, not that they didn't love people, not that they tried to help, but it opened their eyes and they began to say, you know, we need to become rescuers. We need to help the church to realize that people in congregations, in your home, in our homes, have issues. And if we don't help them, they could try to end up killing themselves, or they could live in despair and depression. And so we are under heavy attack by the pressures of life. We are under heavy attack by the enemy of our souls. And even ourselves, as we've talked about in the last few weeks, we even ourselves put a lot of pressure on ourselves. We do. Okay? And so all of that, if we don't keep our lives right, if we don't keep ourselves fed in Jesus Christ, we can become overwhelmed with life. And what I want to say is Christ doesn't want you overwhelmed. He wants you free in life. I'm not saying you're never going to have problems. I'm not going to say you're never going to have something going on in your life, but I'm going to say that God can help you walk it through. We sang that song, It Is Well With My Soul, and it reminded me, and it kind of had that part of that chorus, that song, It Is Well With My Soul. When peace, like, you know that song, It Is Well. And if you don't know the backstory to that, the writer, I'm sorry, I got something in my eye here. The writer of that hymn, his wife and daughters, I believe, were on a ship. This is when they traveled by boat. And they were headed to England, if I believe right, and their ship sunk. And so he was coming to follow them later. And what he did was, when they was following, of course, it's devastating, your wife and daughters. And so when he was going to this place, he said, when we get to that place where the ship went down, can you let me know? So they let him know. He came up on deck. He saw it, of course, overwhelmed. And then, of course, he also wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And you see, you and I suffer things. I mean, that is catastrophic to lose a loved one. And so Rick and Kay Warren said, we need to help the church to be a place where people can be safe and healed. We need to be reminded that the church is about rescue. You see, every one of us need to be rescued. We need Jesus. And Jesus comes to give us hope and life and purpose. And if we're not careful, the world will tell us no. The devil will tell us no. And your own self will try to wear you down. You need a rescuer. His name is Jesus. Amen? And the good news about that rescuer, Jesus, is that then we are to take His message to our family, our friends. The gospel message is not just for you and I to have church every Sunday so we feel good. The gospel is to go out to help other people be free. That should be a hearty amen. And so this morning I want to talk about, we've talked about, if you haven't, weren't here, most of the messages are online. There's one we didn't get quite right. We'll get it on there. This series, Hope for the Mind, if you go to our website, you go to podcast, you can listen to it. But you see, we are to help people who are under the duress of life, the darkness of sin, depression, hopelessness, bitterness, despair. And for even those that feel suicidal, we have a message, and His name is Jesus. And He can set them free. The Bible doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. In fact, Jesus says, I've come to give life and give it abundantly. So I'm here to tell you, I'm here to encourage you, I'm here to inspire you to say, let's go. Let's be rescuers. Amen? Let's be rescued by Jesus Christ. Let's go out and help. So I've got a lot of information for you. As you know, I like to pump out as much as I can, because some of you, you're like watching all kinds of stuff all week long. You barely crack your Bible. And I've got to give you like this fortified message that's like, boom, right? Right? So I got a lot of scriptures. I may not read them all. I might put them up there. And if the words aren't there, I apologize. So take out your Bible, and we're going to look at Genesis chapter 14. I'm going to walk through Genesis 14, and I'm going to read this first part, Genesis 14, 14 through 16. When Abram, this is before he became Abraham, heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit for as far as Dan. During the night, Abram divided his men to attack them, and he routed them. Pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus, he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the women and the other people. So in other words, if you remember the account now, Abram and his nephew Lot, they were sheep herders, and their herds were getting so big and they were overwhelming, and so they had to split up. He said, and if you remember the account, Abram said to Lot, if you go to the right, I'll go to the left, you go to the left. And so Lot chose, and he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very kind of a like a Las Vegas-ish type of thing. It was very hedonistic and very pantheistic. And he was drawn to the world system. And so he said, I'm going to go there. The plains are lush. They're full. And then Abram said, okay, I'll go the opposite way. Okay. So then Sodom and Gomorrah's their king rebelled against another group of kings. And then Sodom and Gomorrah's king and some other kings, they rebelled and they broke free from this this king. And then this king realized, you know, I got to get them back. So he goes back and Abraham, I'll just help you with that, nephew Lot and his family are there. They're taken captive by this king. And so Abram, just a shepherd, you know, he takes 318 of the men who are trained in special warfare, whatever that might be, and they go and they attack a king and they take back what is theirs and they bring them and they rescue them. And you see, this is kind of what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. And so you and I, we may not be able to take on a nation. We may not be able to take on a world system, but we are trained, or we need to be trained in spiritual warfare, that we can do something through the power of God. And I want to challenge you, because you might be overwhelmed. You might be in despair, but I'm here to tell you again that God can heal your mind and thoughts and souls. Remember, Romans says to renew your thinking by the transforming of your mind. Okay, are you ready? All right, the first one is letter A. Number one is the enemy's plan. Letter A, seized and carried off. Again, the four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. Then they went away, and they also carried off Abram's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. So, again, as I just said, one of the kings broke off. They go and they take Abram, and now Lot again pitched his tent towards hedonistic Sodom and Gomorrah, and of course his heart was towards the world. And if you don't know, the world will take us captive. It deceives us. It lies to us. It tricks us. And so we think this is what we want, and it appealed to his senses and the materialistic lifestyle. So Lot is a victim of the world system, because now he's camped. He's pitched his life with the world system. And so what I'm telling you as a Christian is you got to be careful, because if we begin to want to be like the world, we can easily be taken captive. And I'm not saying you can't be taken captive now, but what happens is Abram and Lot began to get away from his life with God. He began to believe the lie, and he's living amongst the world, and now he becomes a victim. And the world only wants to victimize you, really. The world system and the devil. And so here it is then Lot takes his men, okay, and he says, I got to help these guys out. And so we still see the evil that is unleashed on the world system. Instead of us looking at them in judgment, all those sinners, we need to say, you know what, God, have mercy on them. Those are our brothers. Those are our sisters. Those are our children. Those are our sometimes former believers who've left the church. Those are people who need rescue. That's someone's family member. So letter B, of course, and I talk about this a lot, just real quick. The enemy's plan is to seize and carry off. The enemy's plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to have life that you may have it abundantly. So again, Satan's goal for all of mankind is to kill, steal, and destroy. Okay, he promises pleasures. They're all empty, and then they lead us to captivity. Okay, the third thing, the War of the Worlds. Okay, some of you remember that story. So the War of the Worlds, Ephesians 6:12. Okay, there's a war against our soul, and I'm not trying to be weird and all that, but it just you got to know that we live in a spiritual world as well as a physical world. Okay. Ephesians 6:12, for our battle, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Earthly kingdoms are opposed to God's kingdom. Earthly kingdoms are ultimately opposed. Now, there could be Christians, they could be Christian guided, but over time they begin to turn away. I mean, we see that in our nation. What was once seen as evil or wicked or sinful now is celebrated and made legal. Come on, right? 1 John 2:15 and 17, write that down. I've talked about that many times. Don't love the world, okay? So, again, we must be careful not to get entangled, because, again, if all you're doing is getting your mindset from news channels and newspaper and social media, and you never read the Bible, you never hang out with Christians, you're becoming brainwashed. And you're becoming to think like the world. You're going to think and act like the world, because if you're feeding on the world, you're going to act like the world. Come on, I'm just being honest. So Lot was there. Abram was different. He followed God, okay? And so I want to challenge us. Let's not let the world feed us. Let's feed ourselves on the Word of God, and that's more. But we must realize also that we cannot be entangled. So now Abram, he rescues Lot two times from the world system. And it took a lot of effort. I mean, he had to stop everything. He had to get his trained men. And so we must be reminded that fighting spiritual battles, it takes time and effort. I know you're tired. I know I'm tired. I know there's lots of things, but we must say, God, we have power, but it takes time. Amen? We must be willing to take the time and do the same for our family, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age, listen, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They've been blinded. They've been blinded, and we have the truth, all right? So now, you're ready for the rescue plan. I know it went fast, but I have to do this. Number two, you good? Come on, amen? Number two, the rescue plan. Here we go. Letter A, called out the trained men. So Abram calls out the trained men. Genesis 14:14, when Abram heard that his relatives had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household who went in pursuit as far as Dan. In other words, these men were trained. Now, if you think about, back in the day, they didn't have police. They didn't have government systems. They didn't have a national law. So they were out there. These men were trained to protect the families. They were trained to protect the flocks. And so these men had received special training. They took the time and the effort to be trained in the matter of warfare. Christians, you and I must take the time and effort to understand and know how to use spiritual weapons. Come on, amen. Oh, pastor, you don't do enough class. I talk about it a lot. We've gone through classes. You need to read the Bible. You need to do it. But I'm here to help you to be a rescuer. Amen? So today I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you. Now, after you leave today, you've got to use that stuff. Come on, amen? So the first one is this. Abraham calls out these men. Okay? These were not from the world. This wasn't from the government. This, and God bless the Division of Homeland Security, or if you're in Israel, the IDF. I mean, so these men were from within the household of faith. And God is calling His church to rescue the perishing. The perishing can't rescue the perishing. When you're blind, you can't lead another blind person correctly. You can lead them. It's, you know, that old proverbial saying, the blind lead. They're calling out for rescue. They're saying, government help us, media help us, do this. And they're all lost. They're all wandering. And we have the answer. And we must say, wait, we need to train ourselves in the Word of God. We must know spiritual warfare. We must go and help them because they are lost. And again, maybe it was a family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor that once knew Christ or used to attend church with you, and they're just out there. Jesus rescued us from captivity. We must also rescue. Write down Colossians 1:10-13. I'm not going to read it, but it says we must bear fruit. Fruit is to live like Christ and to help other people come out. Letter B, all right? Letter B, recover all and bring back His people. Genesis 14:16, he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot's possessions together with the women and the other people. So think about this, okay? Think about this. At this age, Abram was over 75 years old. So I'm 54, I'm going to be 55. In my mind, I still think I can do things that I could do physically when I was 15 or 18 or 20. So when I try it, my body tells me, no, that hurts. Don't do that again. Some of you are like, I don't understand. You wait. You think I'm old and fat? You just wait. You try to take me in basketball and you dunk over me? You just wait. Someday some young punk kid's going to dunk over you and you're going to say, oh, I still got leaps. And, you know, or kicking the soccer ball or you know, the fresh mind. So, but here, Abram, 75, and I'm not knocking, because again, you see in the Bible, God uses people of all ages. Those that are above 75, we still need to depend on them. Amen. So you're like, yeah. And so, Abram, he's over 75 years old, okay? Now, God used Abram, who is 75 years old, and he used about 300 men to rout the armies. Okay, armies of four kings. Four kings. I'm pretty sure these four kings had more than 318 soldiers. Yeah, I'm pretty sure he did, okay? And so often we think, well, we can't do much in this world, the government, you know, this and that. You know what? We have God on our side. Abram had God on his side. And God loves to take small things. Remember that story of the walls of Jericho falling down? Do you remember the story of Gideon taking 300 and routing? I mean, God can use small things. He loves it. because it confounds the world, but God is greater than this world. Come on, amen? And say, well, Pastor Stan, I don't know about that. Well, you need to read the Word, because here it says in 1 Corinthians 1, 27-28, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. Again, I'm saying use science, use medicine, go to counselors, but sometimes they even themselves are limited. We have a problem with drug subscription abuse. We have a problem with violence. We have a problem with people killing each other. We have a problem with self-medication. So the science and the health networks and the mental, they're not able to do it all. Well, Pastor Stan, I'm not trained in that, and I don't know what to do, but you know what? We do know there's a God. And do you think God wants those people destroying their lives? Do you think God wants those people in depression? No. We have Jesus. Come on. Oh, Pastor, that's great. We're just a small church. You know what? We're just a little army, Pastor. Hey, if Abram and 318 men can go and rescue Lot and his family from four kings, I think God can give us works and answers and power to do something in our world. We can come alongside the health workers. Hey, we're praying for you. And we can, as Christians, you can just be nice to someone. I mean, you can make someone's day who is depressed and discouraged by just saying, man, how are you? Hey, tell me what's going on. Hey, I love you, man. And invite them to church. Well, you can do that, you know, by the way. I'm telling you that. You can invite people to church. It's okay. Oh, Pastor, I don't know. No, they need to hear the gospel. You can tell them about Jesus. You. I haven't been trained. You don't need to be trained in that. Say, Jesus saved me. He's setting me free. I want you to meet him. It was that simple. Come on, amen? So don't start, well, we don't have enough money, it's not in the budget. God is bigger than that. Well, Pastor, you don't believe it. I'm trying to. Would you work with me and say, God, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. I'm not saying every problem's going to disappear. I'm not saying we'll solve it. Well, maybe God can. The church must work its power. We must be rescuers. We must stop looking at people. Oh, they're Democrats, they're Republicans, they're white, they're black, they're Asian, they're Chinese. We need to stop looking and say, you know what? They need Jesus. Someone rescued me. Someone told me about Jesus. It's high time the church starts looking at the world instead of condemnation, but start looking at compassion. Sure, they don't vote like me. Sure, they might be racist. Sure, they might have done wrong to my family, but Lord Jesus, they need to be rescued. Come on, church, amen? Well, we don't have much. We can do anything through God. Amen? God wants us to recover. Are you doing good? God is calling the church out. He's calling believers out to rescue those in captivity. Okay? So number three, you are called. Since I just said that, you are called. Say, I am called. I am called. Letter A, chosen generation. I'm going to read this. Write it down. 1 Peter 2, 9 and 11. It says this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praise of Him who called you out of darkness and into His wonderful light. Do you see that? Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in this world to abstain from the sinful desires which war against your soul. And then, Jude. Because this is the next part. You're called, you're royal priesthood, you're a holy nation, you're a people belonging to God. Then it says this, Jude 22 and 23. Be merciful to those who doubt. Let me read that to you again. Be merciful. It doesn't say be condescending. It doesn't say to defame them. It says be merciful. Verse 23, snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. It doesn't say hate them, it just says hate what the devil's doing to them. Church, we must wake up. Come on, we must wake up. We've got to stop looking at people as heathens, they deserve to die, saying, my goodness, that would have been me. I was down that road, and Jesus set me free. I need to help others. I need to be a rescuer. Come on, amen? You see, and I know he says, but how many more sermons do you need? How many more shootings or viruses or catastrophes or messed up politicians do we need to see before the church rises and say, we have the answer, His name is Jesus, and Lord, send me. Come on, church, amen? You should be shouting, you should be like, yeah, woo, yes, we can do this. Well, Pastor Stan, I got a job. You know, I gotta take care of my family. And that's awesome, but your career is your mission field. You are a missionary where you go to school, where you work, where you play, where you are God's light to that place. Come on, amen? Well, Pastor Stan, I'm not called to ministry. You're called, and you're called to be a light in those places. Those places need Jesus. Come on. You are a rescuer in those places. You need to go in the name of Jesus and be light. The next thing, letter B, and I know I read this to you a lot, and you go, oh man, I came to this church, and it's weird because you're talking about spiritual warfare, you're talking about all that. We need to hear it every once in a while. Letter B, all authority is given to Christ, Matthew 28:18-20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. And of course, I love this one. This is something important. Proverbs 24:11. Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. You see, Abram knew that he was chosen of God, and he was not going to let the devil steal his family. He was not going to let the world system. Jesus has given the church the authority and power to set the captive free. I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but the politicians are not setting the captive free. Wall Street is not setting the captive free. Education system is not going out and setting the free people free completely. You want to argue with me? That's fine. I'll meet you outside in the parking lot again. 2 a.m. If I'm not there, you start arguing without me. We have the answer. His name is Jesus. And we must lovingly care for people. If you see a person that is headed for destruction, I would hope that you would help them. Well, that's on them. They voted different than me. They look different than me. I would hope that someone would help me if I'm heading to destruction. Hey, man, hey, this is not the way to go. And I might say, stop. But maybe in that stop, I'll begin to see something. We are responsible for those around us. We must help them. Come on, amen. We must use the authority. We some of us were just so enamored by the things of the world. We're so enamored by our jobs. And that's fine. You need to work hard at your job. But you're a gospel messenger at your job and in your neighborhood. Come on, amen. John D. Rockefeller was at that time a multimillionaire, billionaire, and here's what he said. He said, I've made many millions, but they have brought me no happiness. We keep thinking if we had $1 billion and man, if I just had everything in the world, and the Bible says you're going to gain the world and lose your soul. Nothing wrong with that stuff. By the way, he was a Sunday school teacher too in his church. So let's talk now, okay? So we are called to rescue. Say, I am called to rescue. That's not now as enthusiastic. I know, certainly, I'm called. You are called. It's a calling. It's an important call. So number four, Abraham's intercession. Let's talk about this now. So he rescues Lot. So look again. He is going to rescue Lot a second time. This is now in Genesis. This is the second part, Genesis chapter 18. So he rescues Lot. Now Lot goes back to Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah, again, is now, it's become now more evil. It's just hedonistic, okay? So the first thing is this, Abraham was concerned for others. Not only was he concerned for, he was concerned for Sodom and Gomorrah. He had compassion on them, okay? So here's the account. Abraham and Sarah, they're waiting, and divine beings come to them, and they come, and he offers sacrifice to them, and they're ready to head off to Sodom and Gomorrah, and they finally say, it's not right for us not to let Abraham know what's going on, because God wanted him to intercede. God wanted to rescue Lot again. And so he says, we're going to bring destruction on this place. And you know the account? Abraham says, but what if there's X amount of people? Well, you know, and then he keeps interceding with God. What if there's this? What if there's 10? What if there's 5? And so here it is. The first thing is this. Abraham's intercession is this. The object of his intercession. You see, people are overwhelmed with mental illness, depression, anxiety, the sin of the world. We must intercede from them. I know you and I, because I meet people at times and their situations come along like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm not trained. I don't have the resources. What do I do? And I say, Lord God, would you intervene in their lives? Would you bring healing? Would you do something in their lives, God? God wants to change. God wants to intercede. God wants to work in their lives. Amen? So the first is the object of his intercession. Our Lot and his family. Then even the wicked inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah, he wanted them to be saved. We should never want someone to fall into the trap of sin or to be judged by God. Oh, you didn't hear me. We should never want them to be destroyed. I know right now, I mean, I see it all the time. People on Facebook and social media, man, I hope they die. I hope they crash and burn. I'm like, what is wrong? And they call themselves a Christian. The Bible says you are not to do that. Well, prove it. I don't have the exact scripture, but 1 Timothy here says this. 2:1-4, I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Did you know everyone means everyone? Did you know that? I'm telling you, the Greek word for everyone means everyone in English. Okay? Now you've been enlightened. For kings, for those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior, who wants all men or women to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Let's pray for those that are under attack, those who are under the world system, they're under depression, they have mental illness. Let's pray for your neighbors, whether they agree with you or not, your coworker, whether they like your sport team or not, whether they've done bad to you. You're supposed to pray for their salvation. Come on, church. This is our job, and we have the power to do this. The second part of this was he was concerned for his family and the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah. Then let her be the spirit of his intercession. Genesis 18:22-23. The men turned away and went towards Sodom. But Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away the righteous with the wicked? You see, now he comes reverently before the Lord. And then verse 27, it says that Abram spoke up again. Now that I've been so bold to speak to the Lord, though I am nothing but dust and ashes. So now he is again, he's being persistent. You see, sometimes we'll say, oh Lord, help them. And then we'll stop praying. The Bible says that we can boldly go to the throne. Boldly go. Because we're washed, we're redeemed. Hebrews 4:16, here it is. Then let us approach the throne of God, grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, we give up if God doesn't answer our prayer in 30 seconds. Seriously. I'm just being honest. I've had to, even my own prayer life, I was like, man, what is wrong with you, Stan? You have not been holding on. You're giving up too easy. And I know life's rough. I've been beat up. You've been beat up. But we need to hold on. Remember, David said, the world's after me, but I'm still holding on to God. He is faithful all the time. And you see, if we don't see an answer tomorrow, next week, we quit. We give up. And God, that's not what God wants us to do. Come on, amen? Are you doing good? Come on, I'm helping you. See, the church in America, it's given up on this nation. How do I know? Because the church is in decline. The church in Africa doubling. Church in Latin America doubling. The church in the Asian countries quadrupling. Church in the Muslim world is growing. The church in America, we're declining. We have given up on this world and we're becoming like the world in some aspects. We must get back to our place of having spiritual authority and say, you know what? God does not want this nation to go to hell. God does not want this nation to spin out of control. God wants his nation to return to him. He wants every nation to return to him. Come on, amen? I know I might have offended you, so like, Pastor, you say this thing over and over. Then let's do it. Come on, let's do it, amen? Let's believe. Let's intercede. You must persist. Thank you for your family, your friend, your coworker, the annoying neighbor, the person that has offended you. You must pray for their eyes to be opened. The third thing, here's the logic of his intercession. Genesis 18:25. Far be from it. For you to do such a thing, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike, far be it from you. Will not the judge of all the earth do right? See, again, basically, Abraham's going before God and saying, you are righteous, you're merciful. You don't want to destroy mankind. I mean, they had sinned. If God has to send destruction, they have really sinned. Our intercession should remind God of his compassion. Come on, amen? If you're praying for people to be destroyed, I'm here to rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Stop it! I mean it. Christians should not be known as people of judgment. We should be praying for people to be delivered from judgment. Yes, we call out right and wrong. That's fine. We live for righteousness. But we are not to say, I hope they die and burn. No, God forbid. What if that was someone praying for you to die and burn? Your children, your husband, your wife. Come on. Whoa, Pastor Stan, wow. I thought you were supposed to help me with mental health today. Whoa, man, what happened today? I'm just trying to say the church, we've got the answer. And this world needs it. His name is Jesus Christ. We can't keep just thinking that if we just keep doing the same thing. I told you this account many, many times. When the Bolshevik Revolution was happening in Russia, the church was arguing about the size of the candles on the altar. When Nazis were taking over Germany, when they would hear, they would just say, well, you know what, let the Jews be, we're just going to worship. Look what happened to their nation. And there's accounts again when then they had the concentration camps and they were hauling off the Jews and other political dissents to be destroyed, to people screaming in the trains, they just sing louder. We come to church, I better have a good message, just sing louder. And all the while, the world is going to hell. All the way while people are dying, they're destroying each other. And we're like, just turn up the music. Turn the music. Pastor, I don't like that message and this and that. And so this is not the message I like to give, but it's a message that must be given. The church has the answer. God wants to spare people. Because He's holy and because He's just, He must deal with sin in rebellion, but He doesn't want to. We just did a series on Jonah a few months back, that whole thing. Remember, God did not want to destroy Nineveh. We should not be happy that a nation is having troubles. Amen? I'll move on before I say something that really offends you. Letter D. The success of his intercession. Abraham got all that he asked for. God's been reminding me. I'm just praying, oh Lord, do this and that. Help, help, help. And I'm like, God saying, pray specific, Stan. Pray specifically what you need me to do in your life. I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to pray specifically. Abram, he prayed specifically. Jesus says this in Mark 11, 22 through 25. Have faith in God, Jesus answered. I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you received it, and it will be yours. Abram did not stop asking before God gave it. He just continued. So we must continue to be persistent in our faith, persistent with God. Amen? Here's a couple of lessons learned because I'm going to move on to the last thing here. Letter E is the lessons learned from his intercession. We have the liberty to approach the maker of everything. That's awesome. Come on, amen? I'm going to say something. I'm not going to say it. I'm going to get in self trouble. Don't do that, Pastor Stan. Don't do that, Stan. No. Talking to yourself. You do it all the time. Knock it off. I better get back to the notes because I will say it. Some of you are like, now what's he going to say? I'm not going to tell you. We must go to the maker of everything. Abraham understood the divinely taught art of wrestling in prayer with God, because God does not want to destroy people. He wants to set the captive free. We must pray for them. We must pray. We must pray without ceasing. The believer must neither grow hard or cold towards the sinner. Remember, you were a sinner once. We must remember that our battle is not against Republicans and Democrats, black, white, Asians, Africans. Our battle is against principalities and powers. Even if they like the Redskins. Even if they like some other team. I mean, some of you joke about that, but people like... So the Nelsons went to see the Broncos get beat and humbled last year by the Ravens. Good team, you know. And so when I remember walking out of there, I mean, we had people like cursing at us. Get the out of here, you stupid Bronco fan. I mean, they're like, just a jersey. Just a team. I mean, yeah, I wanted them to beat your team so I could tell you, hey, God bless you. See, because I don't use those words that you use. But they were angry at us because we just had a jersey that said God's football team, the Denver Broncos. And they were convicted by the glory of God and the orange, you know. But I'm serious, that people get so upset about things. And because if you don't agree with them, or you have a different sports team, or you eat a different kind of food, you drive a different kind of car, you live in a different neighborhood, we need to look and say, man, they are lost. My battle's not against them, but it's the principality that has lied to them and controlling them. Amen. This is good preaching. We must know that God answers prayer. It's not always right away, but we must pray. We must rescue those who are held captive. And we must ask God's mercy. And there be repentance. Number five, I'm going to go through this fast. I've given you this before because I think the church needs to be reminded. I got this next thing out of number five from Pastor Wesley Duell's book, Touch the World Through Prayer. If you've never read it, you need to read it. Wesley Duell's book, Touch the World Through Prayer. He was a missionary to India and he saw the power of God manifest. They saw healings and the miraculous. And I read this book when I was in undergraduate days in 1985, I think 86. And I pray that I continue with this fervor in prayer. So the first thing is this, is you can be a prayer warrior. Come on, you can be a prayer warrior. You can. You can. Come on, but we have to spend time in it. You have to, just like you want to get better at a certain skill or talent, you got to practice it. All right? Number five, take the offensive in prayer. Take the offensive in prayer. The weapons of we fight are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. I'm going fast. To demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets up senses go. Write it down. God gives you offensive power weapons. Doesn't mean you have to be offensive, but you can be offensive in prayer. You don't have to be offended. That's a whole other sermon series. We are too easily offended. Amen. Some of you are, I'm offended, Pastor. Instead of letting the devil beat you up, take some power of God and beat him back. Because you are a child of God. Remember, Abram saw his family taken captive. He didn't say, that was his choice. It was, but he said, you know what? He's being destroyed. I cannot allow this to happen. This is the type of prayer we need to have. Why is it okay? Come on. Why is it okay for the wicked to be militant about their wicked lifestyles, but Christians cannot be offensive in prayer? They're out on the streets. They're legalizing. We're like, it's their choice. That's right, but it's a wrong choice. And we have the power of prayer to make a difference. Amen. I love you. Letter B. Do all in the power of the Holy Spirit. God gives the baptism of the Holy Spirit to empower you to pray and to go out with the signs and wonders of God. Not just for the church. Yes, part of the church, but to go out. I imagine if you start praying for your neighbors and they get healed, they're going to wake up. They see you lay hands on them. They hear you give a prophetic word or you give something about their lives. I guarantee you it's going to open their eyes to Jesus Christ. Amen? God gives us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8. You have spiritual weapons. Letter C, because I got to move on, is in holy faith, resist, bind, and rout the devil. I know I talk about this. If you've ever heard me pray, I say, I bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I curse your works. I command you to stop. Those are prayers that you can make. You. Amen? Bless you. Yes. James 4:7. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil. This is what it says. And he will flee. You go to God. You resist him. Resist every sign of the enemy working in your life. Now, again, I'm not looking for you to say, I went to Starbucks and they gave me the wrong. That was of the devil. Maybe. You shouldn't go to Starbucks anyway. I'm just kidding. You can't blame it all on him. But, I mean, when there's this constant seed, sickness, things breaking down, family troubles, church troubles, nation troubles, you say, that's the work of the devil. I bind that in the name of Jesus. Come on, amen. You have that authority and you can say, I command it to stop in the power of God. You must do that. You must believe in this. You must have this faith. Matthew 18, write this down. Matthew 18 talks about binding and loosing. That's for you. Letter D. You must saturate your soul with the word of God. Oh, Pastor, I'm so sick of hearing it. Then do it. Do it. I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've been in ministry now 32 years, and I see people that have been in church, they know less about the Bible than they did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years, because they're not spending time in the Word. Word of God is living, it's active, it's life. Come on, church, amen? The more you read it, the better you'll feel. The media system of the world will drain you and wants to control your mind. Again, I say it over and over and over and again. If you just ate one meal a week, you're going to be a sickly person. If you read your Bible once a week on Sunday morning at church, you're going to be an anemic Christian. And don't be surprised if the devil just has to go, and you're like, whoa. Seriously. You can't depend on my words alone. You've got to read the Bible yourself. Amen? That's good preaching. All right? Amen. Letter E, rout the devil by praise. Praise and worship has a way of lifting your spirit. Come on, God made music for a reason, even if it's country music. I don't know about that one. But, I mean, I listen to, I love all kinds of music except for, I don't listen to pornographic rap, gangster rap, and I don't listen to country music. Yeah, Lord, thank you for not, no. I listen to all kinds, so I don't listen to Christian music 24-7 because some of it, you know, it's alright. I listen to all kinds, but there are times I was like, I need to listen to the praise and worship because it lifts my spirit. It brings light. It illuminates me. So you need to just praise and worship. I mean, why would Joshua go and march around the city? Praise and worship routed the devil. Come on, amen. Praise is a spiritual. So when you come on Sunday morning, I don't like that song. Then just worship anyway. It's not about you. It's about God. Praise Him anyway. Let your spirit be lifted up. I mean, some of you go to the club and you're like, woo, yeah. You put, you know, like, it's just funny. Like we were, Michaela and I were getting dinner the other night. We're getting sandwiches and this song came on and the lady, you know, she's talking also and she's like, nah, 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 you know, and I'm like, all right, she's just like, eh. And so we get moved by the world. I mean, why can't we be moved by the music of God? Come on. Yeah. All right. Worship is moving if you allow it to be. Letter F. Enlist the prayers of others. Abram called on people from his household. Okay? You can't take the enemy on alone by yourself. You can't do it. He is powerful, but God is more powerful. And again, Jesus said, where two or three are in my name. Okay? Two or three. You gotta do that. All right? Letter F. Enlist the prayers of others. I already said that. Matthew 18, 19 through 20. Write that down. The greater the spiritual resistance, the greater need to enlist others. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid if you're struggling. But I'm talking about saying, hey, let's pray for my neighbor. Let's pray for my son. Let's pray for the nation. Let's pray for this group of people. Let's pray. It's okay. Come on, amen. You doing? You good? Write down Galatians 6:9. I'm not going to read it. Letter G. Here is very important. Pray until Satan is defeated. Pray and tell Satan, and purposely, Pastor Jan, it should be capital. I don't want to give glory to Satan, so I put that down. I do that on purpose. You people that are always wearing proper pronouns and nouns, he's not proper, okay? How long should you continue the prayer battle? Until the victory comes. Learn to keep on standing on God's promises, praising Him for the answer that is coming. Matthew 7:7-8, ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks, worship team, would you come up right now? He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened to. And then pray from a place of authority. You need to pray in the name of Jesus. Pray that. Here, Colossians 2, you got to grasp this. I've preached this. I've talked about this. But we really need to grasp Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Listen to this, okay? I have it. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity, or God's power, lives in bodily form. Verse 10. And you, listen, you, that means you, have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. You have been given authority. You! You're not fighting for victory. You're fighting from the place of victory. Do you see what I'm saying? Too many of us are spending our time on, well, I'm trying to get the victory. Jesus already won the victory. You need to say, devil, in the name of Jesus, who's created all things are under Him, and the Bible says that His fullness is in me. I'm therefore a child of God. I have no power of you, but I have power through Jesus Christ. And I rebuke you. I bind you. I command you to release my people, my nation, the nations of the world, myself. Come on, church. Amen? Amen. You need to pray. Would you stand with me this morning? We need to begin to pray and live in this authority. We must be rescuers again. The church should not be around someone rescue us. No, we have been rescued by Jesus. We need to go out because your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your enemies, they are looking for a rescuer. Even though they may not be saying it, they need to be rescued. Amen. Pastor Stan, what does all this have to do with mental health? This has to do everything with it. We must go to God first. Yes, go to science. Go to medicine. Go to counseling. Pray. Let's believe. Let's not allow the devil to continue to steal, kill, and destroy. Come on, church. We have power. We have authority. We must be like Abraham, who interceded. God, please don't let them be destroyed. Please don't let them destroy themselves. God, and I have a brother. I have a brother who is living on the streets because of an addiction. A day doesn't go by that I don't intercede for that man. I can't physically. I've tried to help with money, but I know when I do that, I know he doesn't use it right. I hope he's listening. Man, I love you. You know who you are. I got two brothers. I love both of you, by the way. And all I can do right now is pray, because he is thousands of miles away from me. And sometimes the only answer that you have is to go and get on your knees and say, God, would you intervene, please? Because an addict, they have to hit rock bottom. But we have power that God can set the captive free. Amen? Amen. Would you believe with me, Father? Would you help us to be rescuers? You've intended every one of us to be rescued. Yes, we have struggles. Yes, we have travails. Yes, we're under bondage or we're under attack. Maybe some of us are overwhelmed with depression, discouragement, anxiety. Would you lift it in the name of Jesus? I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I pray for healing. I pray for the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Would guard our hearts and our minds through you. That is your word, God. You are God of peace. You're not a God of conflict. You're not a God of destruction. You want to set the captive free. And now, Lord, we've been rescued, put in our hearts to be like Abraham, who rescued Lot two times. That we will be persistent in prayer. We will believe, God. We will ask for mercy, God. Lord, the church has the answer. His name is Jesus. Thank God for science. Thank God for doctors and medicine and nurses. Thank God for mental health workers. I pray blessing on them. I pray anointing on them. I pray supernatural power on them. But where they cannot do it, I pray for the miraculous to happen, God. In the name of Jesus. But God, I'm tired of the church walking around like we can't do anything when you've given us power and authority to do everything we need. We may not be big. We may not have billions of dollars. We may not have the ears of Congress, but we have you, God. We have your ear. We have you. Abraham went to you, God. He went to you and you saw mercy, God. And I pray that we realize that you care for every soul. Every soul, God. Help us to see the world like you see the world. When Jesus looked over Jerusalem, he had compassion. He wept. When's the last time we wept for those who are blinded by sin? When's the last time we cried out for our nation or the nations? Or we cried out for our neighbor. When's the last time we cried for our siblings, our spouse, our children? God, our brothers and sisters. When's the last time we've had you to ask to have mercy on those who are destroying themselves, God? Spirit of God, would you move on this place right now? Would you speak to us today, God? Would you help us to see that we have been rescued? We must rescue others. But maybe this morning, God, there's someone in this room that's not given their lives over the rescuer. And they need it. The Bible says that whoever calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. So friends, if you're in this room, you're saying, I need Jesus to rescue me. I've not made him my Lord, but I want to do it. All you need to do is call in the name of the Lord. You need to say, God, forgive me of my sins. Fill me with your Spirit. Fill me with your love. And set me free. And God will begin to do that right now. That's all you need to pray. That's all you need to pray. But we want to help you. If you made that prayer for the first time, if you're making that call, let us know so we can help you. But friends, I want to open up the altars today. I just want you to move as God moves you. Maybe you want to see a family member, a friend, or a community, or a people group, or nation to be free, and you want to come down. Would you come down? Maybe you yourself need to be freed of something. Would you just come down? Maybe you know someone who is in captivity something, and you want them free. Would you just come down? Maybe you want to see darkness lifted from our community, the communities. Would you just come down? Come on. Some of you, maybe you're discouraged. You're like, man, I'm tired. I don't know what to do anymore. Just come on down. Let God fill you. Like Abraham, he just beseeched God. He said, God, have mercy. God, have mercy. Maybe you just need to come down and ask for God's mercy. Just come on down. There's no hype. There's no weirdness. Just come down. You say, you know what? I want to see my family or my friend, my community, my nation, the nation's free. Or, you know what? I need to be free to something. We're not here to judge you. Come on down. Maybe you're overwhelmed. You need God to bring the peace. Come on. Maybe, again, you don't know what to do. There's something that's holding on to you and you got to let go. Let God help you. Maybe you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you just come down and say, I need the work of God. Maybe you're just tired in prayer. Maybe you're tired in spirit. You need God to refresh you. Would you just come down? Come on. Come on. I'm not going to get weird. I'm just going to want you to come down and let the Holy Spirit guide you. The worship team's going to sing. I'm going to turn the microphone off. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We are the rescuers because you've rescued us. Help us to be strong. Help us to be delivered. Help us to be healed. And then, Lord, help us to use your power to set the captive free. Come on, let's just worship. Come and worship if you want.
was great before, moved by the sound of his voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my recall. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you, and it is well. Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well, yes, God. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well, it is well. So let go.
Come on, let's just say Jesus right now. Jesus, your name is above all names. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing. I speak provision. I speak, Lord, brokenness to be restored. God, I pray against the demonic oppression over us. Anxiety, fear, God. Anger, bitterness, unforgiveness. I pray for release, God. I pray that we would be healed. I pray for us to be persistent, God. Let us know that you're faithful all the time. All the time. God, you're good all the time. And when we're tired, when we're weary, God, we lift up your name, God. We call on the name of Jesus. I was thinking about David as I read in Psalm that, God, he was tired. The enemy was coming at him, but he still knew that he could go to you, God. You're our rock. You're our shield. You're our fortress. You're our stronghold. So, God, we run to you right now. You're our refuge, God. You're the refuge. So anyone in this room need to be delivered. I rebuke the work of the enemy from all of our lives, whatever's going on. If we need a financial miracle, spiritual miracle, a relational miracle, God, a mental miracle, a job, I mean, whatever you need to do, God, we lay it at your feet and say, we are your children. We want to be rescued. But then, God, but then, Lord, send us out as rescuers, God. Send us out with the gospel. Send us out with love and compassion and prayer, God. Let us know that we have weapons through God, and we can tear down strongholds, God. Remind us that there's power in prayer. Remind us to pray, and let us be compassionate for those who are blinded, because the work of the devil is to blind, and we have the gospel, and that's to open their eyes. So, Lord, we love you. I speak forth joy. I speak forth purpose. I speak forth your victory. We're not fighting for victory. You've already given us the victory. If God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, then who can be against us? We might be small. We might be a few. But God, you took a small group of people and you turned the world upside down with 120 believers in the day of Pentecost. Would you baptize us again with the Holy Spirit? Would you refresh us that we would go out in the name of Jesus with power, with authority, God? This world is not our home, God. But now send us out in victory with confidence in you, God, that we are chosen. We are royal priesthood. We are set apart. And so, Lord, in Jesus' name, send us out. Because we have family and friends that need you. We have neighbors that need you. Send us out in the name of Jesus, God. We worship you. We praise you, God. And we proclaim your good. Come on, let's just worship him. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. God is good. Amen. Go in the name of Jesus. If you need to go, you need to go. If you want to stay, you're welcome to stay. But go and be a rescuer. Amen. I love you. God bless you.
Your blood makes a death to heal. Right now, your blood takes away the curse. Right now, your blood heals every disease. Right now, your blood sets the addict free. Right now, and I still believe you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I still believe your blood is sufficient. Right now, your blood transforms my